put.
So we've been talking about the nature and the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the world, and especially when you've been learning Shaar Yichud V'Amunah, and we saw that the Alter Rebbe has a very expansive approach to, if you wish, the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the world. Almost, we saw a number of statements which almost suggested that we don't exist, or the world doesn't exist. And we thought that he's not actually saying that. The world does exist. We talked about over the past year of how that's possible, the koach of Shemesh and Magen, Hashem Elokim, and the like. I should point out, maybe another time we can go back to that, but this position, I think, of, we'll call it the Baal Shem Tov, relates to his position on Hashgacha Pratis, namely that everything, absolutely everything, is subject to Hashgacha. There are different versions of this, but even the leaf, even how a leaf falls and the like. And the question is, you know, we've seen the Baal Shem Tov has this position that everything is Elokos. And if you just know how to open up your eyes, you'll see that everything is Elokos. And also this idea that everything is Hashgacha, that there's absolutely nothing that isn't Hashgacha. And again, among the Rishonim, we find Rishonim that have a broad perspective of Hashgacha, but there's no one that I'm aware of that quite says this, that there's Hashgacha on absolutely everything, on how a leaf falls. There's no difference between man and animal and inanimate and adamate object. That's the approach of the Baal Shem Tov.
What would not Hashgacha mean?
It means it's random. It just the world runs on its own.
Did Hashem set the rules such that he knew exactly how each leaf would fall? Was there anything left outside of the direct Ratzon of Hashem?
According to the Baal Shem Tov?
According to anyone. Would anyone say?
So maybe another time we could talk about that approach. But for now, the answer I would say is yes. In other words, one, according to many Rishonim, maybe all Rishonim, certain things are left to Teva or Mikra or the like. HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the system, but let it run, at least with respect to certain things. And when it comes to the Baal Shem Tov, there is nothing. And these two positions, again, maybe another time we get back to Hashgacha, maybe even next week, these two positions relate to each other. Because if there is, if everything is Elokus, and if I know how to look properly, and when I'm looking at this table, I'm going to see Elokus, so then there's no reason why there would be something that isn't subject to Hashgacha. The Zohar says, Les asar panui minei. There's no space devoid of him. And the, as we saw, the Baal Shem Tov and his Talmidim understood that very literally. Les asar panui minei. Milo chal ha'aretz kevodo means literally. Ein od milvado, literally. That's the approach, right? Everything is the chiyus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That relates to Hashgacha as well. Now, what I want to talk about, though, tonight is not Hashgacha. It was just a parenthetical point, though. I think an important one that these things relate, and maybe go back to Hashgacha. I want to consider whether the Misnagdim, the Litvish approach, the Nefesh HaChayim, disagrees. And I think we could take two approaches to this question. Yes or not fundamentally. In other words, I'm not saying that there's no disagreement, but the question is there a major fundamental disagreement? And this also relates to the question of what Tzimtzum means and whether there's a disagreement about that as well. So we'll first present the idea that there is a major disagreement here. And let's take a look at Nefesh HaChayim, Perek Aleph, Shaar Aleph, Perek Beis. So Shaar Aleph, Perek Beis. The Nefesh HaChayim presents a similar idea to what we saw in the Alter Rebbe. We saw in the Alter Rebbe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was constantly creating, that creation is constant. Don't just say that Hashem created the world and sort of let it be, it happened once. But no, that creation is constant. And this is an idea that Nefesh HaChayim also seems to say. He's medayiket from the Tefillah. But perhaps, if we read it carefully, we'll see that it's different than the way the Alter Rebbe says it. So let's take a look at how he puts it. consider how it might be different, and then we'll consider whether it actually is different. So, over here, the Nefesh Chaim really starts off in Perek Aleph, which is short, describing, trying to understand what Tzelem Elokim is. He quotes the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, which point out, by the way, that both Nefesh Chaim and the Baalta Rebbe quote Mor Nevuchim on several occasions. We talked about this a little bit early, at the beginning of the our discussions, though certainly they're not saying there's no machlokas, but they saw value in learning the Rambam, obviously his halachic writings, but even his philosophical writings, and learn things from them. So he started off by discussing the Rambam's understanding of what Tzelem Elokim is in Mor Nevuchim, and let's pick up from Perek Bey. So Amnam Lavin Inyan Amro B'Tzelem Elokim Daika Lo Shem Acher. So it's Tzelem Elokim Dafka. In other words, it doesn't say Tzelem Hashem, Tzelem Elokim. Kishem Elokim Yadua Perusho Shehu Moreh Shu Yisborach Shemo Bal HaKochos Kulam Kamosh Mevor B'Torah Chaim. The name Elokim, when referring to God, means he is Baal Kol HaKochos Kulam. Elokim is Koach. That's why the word Elohim is sometimes used even for to refer to power not that of God, like powerful people or judges or the like. Vinyan Mashu Yisbarach Nekra Baal HaKochos. What does that mean? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Baal HaKochos. Ki lo kemidas basam vidam midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki ha'adam keshebone binyan derach mashal me'et. Ein habone bore umamtzi az mikocho ha'et. Rak shalokech itzim shekrai nevru misadram bevinyan. So when people create, it's bria yesh me'esh. They take something that already exists and change their form, change their shape, turn them from one thing into another thing. V'acha shekvar sidram lefi ritzono. Once they've done what they've tried to do, and they've taken the wood and built the chair, im shekocho usav nistalek mehem. Im kozeh. Habinyan kayam, their koach is removed. They're no longer involved. They leave the chair, and yet the binyan is still there. The carpenter might die, but his chair will outlive him. Avahu yisparach shemo kemo be'es avriya v'olamos kulam bra'am v'imtziyam hu yisparach yesh me'ayin. First of all, bria v'kadosh baruch hu is different insofar as it's yesh me'ayin, as opposed to the brios of people. Bekocho ha'bilti tachlis kein me'az Kol yom v'chol rega mamish. Moreover, it's not just that Bria Yesh Me'ayin was a one-time event, but it's constant. Kol koach mitzusam v'sidram v'kiyumam talui rak b'mesh hu yisbarach shemo mashpia b'hem b'yirtzono yisbarach kol rega. They only continue to exist because Hashem wills them to continue to exist. And there is a koach v'shafa'as or chadash, a constant koach and hashpa that's always there. V'ilu ha'yahu yisbarach misalek mehem koach hashpa aso, af rega achas. And if God were to remove this koach, this hashpa, even for a single moment, kirega yukulam le'efes batahu, instantaneously they would cease to exist. U'kimoshi yastu anshe knesset ha'gdola, ha'machadish b'tvo b'choyom tamid ma'aseh reishis, ha'inu tamid mamash. Literally, mechadish betuva b'chayom tamid. Literally, constantly. Kol eis v'rega. V'rayasa mifreshes kamor lo'ose orim gedolim. The pasuk in Tehillim says that God is constantly making orim gedolim. It doesn't say shasa orim gedolim, but ose orim gedolim. Shelo amar asa ela ose.
Is it a little bit like strange for him to focus on that? I mean, Hashem is not bound. It's not like Hashem right now wants the world to exist. He is not bound in time. So he desired it to exist for this amount of time. It's a strange way to focus on. Like every second he wants it to exist.
Yeah, so you're right that when we talk about even seconds, we're anthropomorphizing. But to the right. extent, but we're always anthropomorphizing.
No, but he just wanted to exist for 1,000 years, not for 500 years.
Yeah, so the point that he's trying to make is that it's constant. And as opposed to creating it and setting it in motion.
There's no constant for Hashem. He doesn't exist in time. Constant means...
I'm not sure that's true, but either way, even if you're right, I think to the way we would relate to it is that way. In other words, to the extent that we can relate to it, it is mechadish betuba b'chol yom tamid mamish, as opposed to setting it up. So here we're trying to contrast the human builder with the divine builder. So first glance, this is exactly what we saw in Tanya. No difference. I saw an article, actually, a Talmud of mine, his name is Alicia Pearl, sent me to an article written by someone whose name is Rabbi Yosef Avimi, who seems to be very knowledgeable in these spheres. And he argued in this article that the Nefesh HaChaim is actually very, very different than the Alter Rebbe. If we look at it carefully, the Nefesh HaChaim keeps on using the word koach. Let's just take a look. Just to go back, he says, "Bekocha bilchti tachlis kei me'az kol yom yom rega v'chol rega mamish kol koach mitziusam v'sidra mikyumam toli rak b'mesh hu yisbarach shemo mashbia b'hem b'rtzono yisbarach kol rega koach v'shafas or chadash." Again, the ilu haya yisbarach mesalek mehem koach hashba'aso af rega achas, so then they would disappear. So, is that different? So he argues, yeah, that's very different. There's something which exists, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's koach is constantly reinvigorating it. But it's not that they have no kiyum be'etzem. They have a kiyum, but it requires a constant koach from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bal kol hakochos kulam. And that is different than saying that they don't really exist, that they're basically alokus, that there's nothing, ein od bilvado mamish, meaning to say nothing else actually exists. And therefore he argues that this is a different approach. This might relate to, though I don't know if it does, but it might relate to a very famous question of whether we should understand the concept of Tzimtzum Kipshuto or not Kipshuto. So what does that mean? So the truth is, we didn't actually read this chapter yet in the Shayichud Emunah. It's more or less the next chapter that we got up to, and maybe we'll have a chance to learn it today. Maybe we won't. But his point over in these next chapters, we're up to Parakeh, is that even though we talk about Tzimtzum, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mitzamtzim himself, he restricted or he limited himself in such a way so as to allow for the creation of the world, that is not true. He wasn't Mitzamtzim himself because he's everywhere and he couldn't be Mitzamtzim himself. And it might appear like Tzimtzum, but there is an actual Tzimtzum. And we're going to read, I hope, inside this parak that says that. There are those that claim, including the Lubavitchers, that the Gra disagreed with that. The Gra understood Tzimtzum is Kipshuto, literal Tzimtzum. God was Mitzamtzim himself. In other words, to allow for the creation of the world, he limited himself, he created a vacuum. Of course, everybody's going to agree as the koach to get rid of the vacuum, to end our existence. But in order to allow for creation, he was mitzamtzim himself, because without that true tzimtzum, nothing else could exist. And therefore, tzimtzum is kipshuta. That is the debate. And as I said, the Lubavitcher Rebbe has an interesting letter about this in which he says that the Gra felt that Tzimtzum is Kipshuto, and that contrasts with Chabad. He actually says there are four different perspectives, and he says that the Nefesh HaChaim is not like the Gra, but also not like Chabad. But Bekitzer, that's the question. And many claimed, many believed, that one of the major debates between, let's say, Hasidim and Misnagdim was about this question of Tzimtzum. Others disagree. Michtav Eliyahu, for example, of Dessler, writes that even the Gra believed in Tzimtzum Delo Kipshuto. That's certainly the ideas that I have received from my teachers, Ravan Lapiansky, and he mentioned this from Rav Moshe Shapiro as well, and we'll see that tonight as well in an additional source who makes this point. But if indeed they're arguing about this point,
is there anyone who uncontroversially believes in Tzimtzum Kipshuto?
There are some Kabbalists who do really sound that way. But I would say that the contention of you know, that I heard from Rabbanan is that most or all mainstream, the ones we know of, do. And again, part of this difficulty relates to the fact that when we're talking about Kabbalah, we're using metaphors. And so it's oftentimes tricky to figure out which is the metaphor. For example, whenever the Nefesh HaChaim talks about it, he always says kaviyachol, that kaviyachol he was mitzamtim himself, which certainly suggests that he that it's that the Nefesh HaChaim agrees that it was tzimtzum de lo kapshuto. So we're going to talk about, we're going to get back to the position of the Gra in a moment. But if we assume for a moment that there is a debate about this point, as let's say the Lubavitcher Rebbe believed and others as well, so then these two points sort of relate to each other. In other words, because the Alter Rebbe is saying that tzimtzum is delo kipshuto, there wasn't true tzimtzum, so that's why there's nothing but elokus. And in the opinion that tzimtzum is kipshuto, so then there's room for us to exist. Like we saw, perhaps, the way the Rambam explained Einod Milvado, which meant that there's no necessary existent besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And again, perhaps along the lines of what the Nefesh HaChaim over here is saying in Shaar Aleph Perek Beis, where when explaining Mechadish B'tuva B'chayom Tamid Ma'aseh Reishis, he's saying that means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly giving the koach, but not more. So if that's true, this would sort of be another manifestation of this. Agav, so when my friend sent me this article, so I was curious about who this Rav Avimi is. I don't know so much about him, and I couldn't tell, but I was reading. He wrote a book, a Sefer on the Kabbalah of Rav Kook. And in talking about Rav Kook and Kabbalah, he mentioned an interesting thing that at least Rav Tzvi Yehuda told him that he shouldn't learn Tanya, he should learn Nefesh HaChaim. Which I thought was sort of interesting, and I didn't read his whole Sefer, so I don't know, but people assume that Rav Kook's theology is actually very much influenced by the Alter Rebbe, and Rav Kook is someone who sort of took the approach of everything being elokus in a very far way. Modern philosophers like to talk about it, call it panentheism, not pantheism, panentheism or the like. Anyway, we're not going to go into that debate now. But I thought that was an interesting point that Rav Kook, again, according to him, encouraged people to learn Nefesh HaChaim and not Shaar Yichud V'Emunah. Al Kol Panim, that is the first approach. That is one approach. So let's take a look at another passage in Nefesh HaChaim and see if that supports this distinction. So we're going to go now to Shaar Gimel, Perek Yud. Shaar Gimel is really all about this question to a large degree. And let's take a look. So Shaar Gimel, Perek Beis. Omnam Pnimius Inyan Mekomo Shel Olam. So at the beginning of Shaar Gimel, he started explaining what's the concept of makom. We refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as makom, right? Chazal say, Kshata Mispao, Altase, Tfilas Chakeva, El Ravim Tachanunim, Lefne HaMakom Baruch Hu. Chazal say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is makom, because hu makom ha'olam, ve'ena olam makom. So, Perek Aleph explains what that idea is, al pi pshat. And now, in Perek Beis, he's going to explain what it means, al pi sod. Amna, Pnimius Inyan Makomo Shalola, who inyan gadol meod. Ki ma shekinuhu yisbarach shemo mekomo shel olam, that which Chazal referred to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as mekomo shel olam, ein erech klal inyan makom hanosei kol chefet ha'omir alav. At first glance, it sort of sounds like he supports. In other words, this floor that we're all sitting on is supporting us. If the floor disappeared, we would fall. So that's not what it means. Why? Sha'atzmos hishave v'kium ha'kli yesh lo metzias b'fnei atzma. Because the kli has an independent existence. U'makom, the makom rak matzel sosa shalo tipol v'tishaber. So what is the makom? Now there's just sefer, has an independent existence. And the table, which is supporting it, is just preventing it from falling on the floor and ripping. V'chein enyan chios v'kiyum hagof al yedei neshama. Likewise, the guf is supported by the neshama. If the neshama were to disappear, the guf would not continue to live. But still, haguf yesh lo metzius b'fnei atzmo. The guf does have metzius. Ve'eino misbatel me'metziuso gam b'tzeis ha'neshama menu. And the truth is, it doesn't cease to exist. It might cease to live when the neshama departs. In other words, death is the separation of the neshama and the guf. But when the neshama leaves, the body doesn't just poof, disappear. Okay? It needs to get buried. Aval alamos kulam, kol ikr his avos mitziusam kol rega. So here's where I think he is saying the same thing as the nefesh, as the Baal HaTanya. When it comes to the olamos, all the olamos, their ikr his havos, their very existence, every moment, hu rak me'ito yizbarach shemo. And if God were to stop constantly creating them, they would be nothing. Absolutely nothing. But it is only because no created being can understand this. Af. Elyon Shebelyonim, even the most elevated creatures, the angels, the chayos, the seraphim, nothing can understand this. La sigma husa inyan. Ech kol ha'olamos v'chol tzvam hema be'etzem ayin. They can't understand how God is, how the world, how everything which exists is be'etzem, is fundamentally non-existent. It's be'etzem ayin. V'ra kol rega Hema mishavim lemetzios mimenu yisbarach. Lezos bacharulam shiluhu yisbarachu lahasbir laozen shomas bekarev chachamim betevas makom. And therefore, we think of it as a mashal, but an imperfect mashal as makom. Right? So, how, there's a makom, there's a mashal here. Let's imagine this is the world, and we're saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makom mashalolam. And why is that a good mashal? Because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would disappear, it would fall down. But that's a mashal, but it's not a perfect mashal. Because in that mashal, the world exists. It's just being supported by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So whom we call Moshal Olam? So yes, we call HaKadosh Baruch Hu makom. But why do we do that? Because we can't understand the truth. And even the highest Bria can't understand the truth. And therefore, as a mashal, we think of it this way, but it's not true. Meaning to say, the truth of the matter is, the emes is, that everything is be'etzem ayin. However, we can't understand that. We can't relate to it. We can't conceive of our own non-existence.
When you say ayin, I mean, we exist because Hashem wants us to. That's all he says.
He's saying that
Meiratzona.
Yes, he but the etzem, they're ayin.
Without his ratzon, he doesn't really go that. He doesn't address this.
I think
he's nuance.
Saying more than that.
Which word? Where?
Eich kol ha'olamos b'chol tzva'am hema be'etzem ayin. If all he was saying is that what he's this is what I think what you're saying is exactly what he's coming lafuke. What you're saying is we exist, but...
Because of... Well, look at the paragraph before.
I understand. But, and likewise, v'ilu hayu misalik ritzono yisbarach melahavo sosam kol rega havi la'ayin be'afes.
If. But, like, yes. But the Baal HaTanya would say even no, with his ratzon we don't exist.
Not true. Because the Baal HaTanya agrees we exist.
It's so indisputable.
Well, right. At least, and he even says it.
Right.
So that's why I don't see any difference between them. But there is a difference. We're going to get to it in a moment. But it's not the fundamental difference that we thought at first. Like we were saying from, like I think Avimi was saying. I don't think there's a fundamental difference. I think they both agree. There's a different fundamental disagreement. But that's something else. We're going to get there. So I don't see a fundamental difference. I think you're saying the exact same thing. And likewise, when it comes to Tzimtzum, So I'll read you how this is expressed. This is Rabbi Eliyahu Weintraub, his shiurim on called Nefesh Eliyahu, his shiurim on the Mevo Sha'arim. And I'll just read you again how he presents it, and then I'll explain where the difference is. But this is really where you see it. There was a school of thought that understood that, according to the Gra, Tzimtzum was Kipshuto. It was literal. They said, no, this is against our Kabbalah from the Arizal, our tradition from the Arizal. And he writes, as is explained by the Nefesh HaChayim at length in Shar Gimel, which is what we are reading, Litzimtzum b'tfisa shel hanivraim. We're referring here to tzimtzum from the perspective of the creations. In other words, what we just read, which is aliba de emes, from a Kadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, tzimtzum is delo kipshuto, and there is no tzimtzum. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is as he was kodem abriya, achar abriya, ani Hashem lo shinisi, ein od milvado mamish. However, we can't really understand that. Our perception, we only relate to God as we perceive him. She'ein ro'in b'chush ela pe'ulosa. U'mevinim rak she'ish mashu b'lo shom hagdara shel tochen ho'usa. Zeu chalal v'timtzum me'abat ha'niti shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu al hakol. Shakol batel ilav, the ain shum shilton bil ado, bakol sham sambe machshava mineuve, hanistaros lashem alokenu. Fine. So that's what he's saying. In other words, we perceive tzimtzum kipshuto, but there isn't actually tzimtzum kipshuto. So then, is there a machlok? So I think there is, but it's more subtle. And if we have time, another time, maybe we could develop it. The difference is, do we just basically say, this is the way it is, but we can't relate to it? That is the Litvisha perspective. And therefore, we don't try to think about it. He talks about it, Nefesh HaChayim, when we read on in this Shar, says that when you even start thinking in these ways, you should return to a place of makom. You should stop thinking about this. You'll lose your mind. It's impossible. Don't try, because you can't understand it this way. And what the Alter Rebbe is saying is, also he agrees you can't really understand this, as we saw, but though you can't really understand it, you should try. It's a difference in avoda. In other words, both agree that to some level we should appreciate that the MS, and the MS is that eino lovado mamash. And both would agree that we can't really understand it. So where is their machlokas? Should we try? Should we sort of engage in this exercise of self-negation or attempted imagining our self-negation? Or no? Is that a really bad idea? It's a dangerous idea. It distracts us from our avodah. We should stick with what we can understand. In a certain sense, it relates a little bit to what we were talking about a while back about halachic man and sort of trying to emerge from the world or engage the world. There's a lot of different manifestations of this. So, b'kitzer, both with respect to the purported machlokas about tzimtzum kipshuto or lo kipshuto, and the purported machlokas about whether it's the koach or not, I think that there is no fundamental debate. Now, I'm not really entitled to an opinion. I am not. There are many people who have other opinions on this matter that know a lot more about this than I do. But at least, as far as I could tell, and I think this is also what I've received from my teachers, there isn't a fundamental debate in terms of the nature of tzimtzum and the nature of existence, our existence. However, there is, I think, without a doubt, a debate about our avoda. And that's something we need to think about because, as we've been saying throughout, you know, we're not just learning about HaKadosh Baruch Hu because it's interesting, but because understanding these things should affect our avoda Hashem. They should affect, as the Nefesh HaChayim talks about over here, for example, how we daven. and how we do mitzvos and the like. And so in that sense, I think it's very, very important. And in a sense, the avoda of the Nefesh HaChayim is one that at least I think I have an easier time relating to, because like he says, it's, you know, we can't relate to it. It's beyond us. Okay, so we'll stop here and we'll be that's the shem pick up next time.